Morning. Oh, it's afternoon, that's right. Well, it's morning someplace. If you could all join me in the spirit of prayer. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day, this beautiful fall. It's a time for change. And we are blessed to enjoy this beautiful state during this time. And we are blessed to have this wonderful church, a place in the wildwood. I hope all of us can open our hearts to be with you today. Amen. Now we'll have the hymn sing, and Jenny will help me with that.
Only if it's necessary.
Did you say 182?
Yeah.
What was the number?
There was no number.
There was no number yet.
Oh, we're waiting for the first one.
28.
28. Number 28. Wait, hold that thought.
So,
you should ring the bell together.
26, not 28. 26. In my heart, there rings a melody.
All verses.
Thank you.
What's next? Yes, ma'am.
458.
458.
This is my father's world.
458.
First and last.
First and last. 458. This is my father's world. First and last. Precious Lord, take my hand, first and last. There are only two, Jenny. Very good. I'm impressed.
Good job.
One more.
Okay, that's what it is.
455, my country, tis of thee.
That shall first and last for.
First and last. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. And if you really haven't seen it, last night we were at a restaurant that looked out on the mountains, and the haze is unbelievable from the smoke. What else? Yes, ma'am.
A couple of things. The first one is my daughter is wanting a new job very desperately and having an interview tomorrow at 1:15. So my daughter Kate in your prayers that she will get hired as a result of that interview.
What's
I'll be very grateful to you too.
What's the job with?
It's a manager for, it's in high school, for
athletics?
No, for, I can't think of the word, taking care of the place.
A maintenance?
Maintenance. That's it. And my second request is, or it's just a prayer of praise for this church. I have amazing trustees this year that have done a great job in making sure that things get done that I've wanted to see get done for a long time. Just wasn't capable of doing it myself. I'm very grateful that next Sunday we have our annual concert, our fundraising concert with the Sandy River Ramblers. So I hope you all come back from that and bring lots of friends with you. There's actually a flyer out here by the guest book. If anybody knows the place where they can put a flyer for it, please take that with you and hang it up.
We'll take one, put
it in. This is our last service until Thanksgiving, so just being grateful, especially because I haven't been here for the last 2 weeks. Grateful to be here today.
Anyone else? Yes, Diane.
I have also a great deal of praise for this church. Praise for this church, and especially for Jimmy, for taking care of things so nicely and deciding that this is where she belonged, not the door. I'd just like to give thanks for that.
Anyone else?
Most everybody here knows my great-grandmother played the organ, grandmother played the organ, and I sang Jesus Loves Me with my sister on that stage when I was 3. That's the first memory I have.
That's a spot over here, isn't it?
I think it was the other side.
Oh, it was the other side.
And about 10 years ago, my sister Dale and I were told, well, why don't you get up and sing it again? So we did.
All right. Anyone else? If not, if we could be in a spirit of prayer.
Here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I would like to offer a prayer of joy for this church. I have found some very, very meaningful and very wonderful people here, and I pray that this church will continue to flourish the way it is right now, and more.
Anyone else? If not, if we could be in the spirit of prayer. Father, we pray, and it's interesting how I wrote this, for this church, because it's a special place in the Wildwood. We pray for all the ministers of the church, including Jenny, for all the great work she's done here, and the trustees that helped us this year. We pray for all those who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world. Give us grace to do your will that we all undertake. Have compassion on those who are suffering or in grief. And one of the Beatitudes will actually address that. And give to the departed eternal rest. Let us pray for Diana and all the things that she has to do with the biopsy and hope that everything comes out great and right. We pray for the people out west who are suffering through the fires. We pray for Ginny as her daughter goes out for interviews. And again, we pray for this church. We pray for our own needs and those of others. And find my brochure. If you would join me in the Lord's Prayer. I'm sorry. If you take a moment of silence to pray for your own needs and wants. Now, if you'd all join me in the Lord's Prayer that's printed in the bulletin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you join me in the song after the prayer, are we ready? Surely, the presence
of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on His face. Surely, the presence
your gifts support this church. However, if you're not prepared to place offering in the basket today, please know your presence is a gift enough. It's a pleasure to be here, as always. I love this little church. It's a nice ride up, and it's a nice ride through the town of Madrid. And I always correct people when they come into our little store that it's Madrid and not Madrid. So it's really a pleasure to be here. When I put this together for Jen, well, a couple other things, and Mary will laugh at this, because I preached one time in Avon, or in Phillips, and I forgot my reading glasses. So I borrowed Paul Gardner's. This time, I put two of them on, just to make sure I had some. And didn't realize I put the second one on until I reached up for this one. So at least I came prepared, so if you see Paul, I didn't need him today. When I first put this title of this together, Time for Change, I forgot about how I wanted to address the Beatitudes. So think about it differently as we're in a time of change. Change in the climate, change in the weather. Certainly we're getting ready to go from summer to fall. And think about it as the Beatitudes of being potentially part of its change. Many a theologian has complained that the Lord's Prayer is the greatest mantra of Christianity. Mm-hmm. What they mean is that all of us feel sometimes guilty of just reciting the Lord's Prayer on autopilot and not really paying attention to the words. Well, if the Lord's Prayer is in the top 10, then the Beatitudes from today's gospel, oh, and we forgot to read the gospel.
Yes.
I just thought of that. So I'm going to finish this sentence.
I think you need a third set of glasses.
I think I do. I better put the other ones on. But this is a good introduction to the gospel. So today, they say then, we give great reverence to them. Nevertheless, we don't really take time to struggle in what they mean. The Beatitudes.
This is from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Praise be to God.
Now, but that was a good segue into it. And I hope you were all listening so we can say amen now. All right. So I apologize. I've lost track of this. I wanted to get into my gospel. But so we've just heard them, and we never really take time to struggle with what they mean. The Beatitudes come from the opening statements of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in the gospel according to Matthew. As his custom, Jesus offers gifts to us with words, statements of blessing. Matthew's gospel was directed to an audience with steep Hebrew tradition. The gospel of Matthew stressed that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah, foretold in Hebrew scripture. Our Old Testament and that of the kingdom of the Lord is the kingdom of God in heaven. Jesus offers us a way of life that promises eternity in the kingdom of heaven. The teachings of Jesus of Nazareth are simple, but unique and innovative at the time of his life on earth. He began teaching about 30 AD during the ruthless Roman occupation of Palestine. At the time, there were four major groups of Jewish religion, all of them present at different viewpoints to the Jewish people. There were the Pharisees. They demanded strict observance of the Mosaic law, expressed in the Torah, but accepted the the oral traditions of Jesus' Jewish customs and rituals. There were sacristies that were mainly from the priestly families and strictly accepted the law of Moses, but rejected oral tradition. There was another group, I can't pronounce the name, that's why I call them the other group, awaited a Messiah that would establish a kingdom on earth and free the Israelites from oppression. And then there were the Zealots. These were a militant Jewish group who wanted freedom for their homeland and were centered in Galilee. One of the 12 apostles was Simon the Zealot. So with this as a backdrop of who his audience was, let's open the curtain a little bit more. The message you're going to hear today is about blessings. And we said that in our opening prayer. We bless the things we have. We use the word bless a lot, but maybe we really don't know what it means. If someone sneezed, if I sneezed in front of this room, I bet everybody in this room would say, God bless you or bless you before it was done. Why? Interesting, National Geographic reports that during the plague of 590 AD, Pope Gregory ordered increasing prayer for the divine intervention because the plague was there. Part of his command that anyone who's sneezing be blessed immediately. God bless you, he would say, since the sneezing was often the first sign that someone was falling ill with the plague. By AD 750, it became a customary to say, God bless you, as a response to one sneezing. The practice of blessing someone who sneezes also dates really back to AD 77. Although it is a far older than the one we talked about, some of those offer an explanation suggesting people held folk belief that a person's soul could be thrown from their body when they sneeze, and that sneezing otherwise opened the body to the invasion of the devil. Or sneezing was the body's effort to force out this invading evil. In those cases, God bless you or bless you was sort of a shield against those evils. In the past, some may have thought that the heart stops beating during a sneeze, and the phrase, God bless you, encourages the heart to continue to beat. Now back to now understanding how blessed might be, came into place, we'll go back to the story. Jesus had been walking with his disciples, always teaching and talking with them. More and more people would see Jesus and follow him because they could sense there was something special about him. The way he spoke and that he spoke about captured everybody's attention. This is one of those days. And the people were following, and Jesus decided to stop on a mountainside with his disciples and teach to all that wanted to listen. This is known as the Sermon on the Mount and occupies chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus will speak about the Beatitudes in the first part of the sermon. He used the word blessed in describing the Beatitudes. So we should probably figure out what the word means by this definition. To be blessed is to be more than happy. Life doesn't always go our way. Sometimes we get sick, someone gets hurt, and of course that doesn't make us happy. But being blessed is being full of joy in the inside event things aren't perfect. It's a deeper joy because we know as believers the Spirit of God lives in us. Now take a moment to look back at the Ten Commandments, because if you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the Old Testament I think of it as God was an angry man or angry thing or person. Keep it generic. And it was very angry as he talked about it. So if you think about it, the Ten Commandments were thou shall not. For example, thou shall not have no other gods. Thou shall not make idols. Thou shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Thou shall remember the Sabbath day. Thou shall honor thy mother and father. Thou shall not murder. Thou shall not commit adultery. Thou shall not steal. Thou shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Thou shall not covet. Very direct and demanding. In contrast, the message of Jesus is one of humility, charity, and brotherly love. He teaches transformation of the inner person. Jesus presents the Beatitudes in a positive sense, virtues in life which ultimately lead to reward. While the Beatitudes of Jesus provide a way of life that provides peace in the midst of our trials and tribulations on this earth. An early contemplation of the Beatitudes came from St. Gregory, a mystic who lived in Asia Minor around 380 AD. He described the Beatitudes this way. Beatitudes is a possession of all things held to be good, from which nothing is absent, that good desire may want. Perhaps the meaning of a beatitude may be clearer to us if we compare it to its opposite. Now, the opposite of beatitude is misery. Misery means being afflicted unwillingly with painful sufferings. Let's look at the Beatitudes again from a different interpretation or different writing in the Bible. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, shall they be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure at heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's probe each one of them a little bit and see what we can say about them. First one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This relates to those who trust in God and ask for his help. This one sums up all the rest. Put God first allows us to live other beatitudes as well. Second beatitude, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourning is when you're very sad about something. When you are sad, whatever reason, you can't be happy because you can feel God's loving arms around you through your family and your friends. Third one, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. To be meek is to be patient and not acting angry or thinking of only ourselves. When we let go of the anger and hurts, whatever things take place in their lives, use self-control and stay positive. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. To want to do the right thing is to be hungry for honesty. We need to try really hard, be good and do good, and to be fair. If we are, our lives will be filled with good friends, family. We will fight for justice. Blessed are the merciful, so they shall obtain mercy. To have mercy is to be the loving and kind to others. This doesn't mean just being loving and kind to your family and friends, but those that you don't know, and maybe even to those you may not like. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Being pure in heart is having a clean heart. The heart inside our pumps blood and keeps us alive. If something is wrong with our heart, we won't work right. Jesus is talking about the place where we think and make decisions, why we do things, and our thoughts. We keep in our mind thoughts and decisions that are good. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. This is pretty simple. Someone who helps make peace and helping others get along as a peacemaker really understand this beatitude. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for their kingdom of God, theirs is the kingdom of God. This is to reach because of the way the world acts. It's very tough to get there. And we get caught up in the actions of the world today. But doing the opposite of what the world tells us can be very difficult because some people may make fun of us. They may not understand who we are and trying to do the right thing. It doesn't make doing the right thing easy, but it gives you comfort in doing that. The Beatitudes end saying that we should rejoice and be glad because the following them we will receive great treasures in heaven. God promises that we'll be blessed if we follow these teachings, but it won't be easy. It's like the change in the climate, change in the weather, change in the seasons. We are still figuring out how to do these things. We shouldn't be discouraged. Keep in mind the Beatitudes are difficult to do. Time to change might be now. Jesus didn't give us these Beatitudes and then want us to fail. He wanted to give us something to aim for, to work towards in our whole life and try to achieve. He wants us to try to be our best and give our full blessings and reward us even bigger in heaven someday. Let us pray. Lord, help me to grow to trust you. Help me to be there for others who are grieving or sad. Help me to find strength in God and prayer. Place in my heart a deep desire for doing the right thing and for standing up for what I know is right. Help me be kind and merciful to others. Help me be pure of heart in all my dealings with others. Help me be peaceful and bring peace wherever I go. And Lord, help me to stand up for what is right, true, and just. Amen. And we now go to the last hymn. Are you ready? And I believe the last hymn is on my bulletin. 148.
Yeah.
could share with you a closing thought before the prayer. Four of the Beatitudes in Matthew, 1st, 2nd, and 4th, and 8th, are all those quoted by Luke, referred to given situations in the lives of some of the individuals, thus appealing to our empathy or even sympathy. Thereby, they are present in a basic, humble, human quality in contrast to what's said in the Old Testament. The blessed are the poor, the mourners, the hungry, and the unjustified persecuted ones. The other four Beatitudes are only indicated by Matthew, differ in referring not to what has possibly happened to some of us and where we find ourselves, to what we should change to do is in our behavior. And they are, the blessed are the meek, the merciful, the pure at heart, and the peacemakers. Let us pray. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the earth. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.